You're listening to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 AM K108.
Good morning. Happy New Year's. That was Mr. John Coltrane and Miss Shirley Scott, his wife. God bless the child. Anyway, I thought we all thought we'd come up and enter the New Year's with a little jazzy step. And I know everyone's still having a hangover and clearing the nostrils from the smoke and washing the cars and all of that. So thanks for joining me, and I hope that you continue to stay tuned with us, and you've done us some really good favors. This protest down there that we talked about with Jeannie Lee, it was a success, and it's still growing, and the community, I guess, can truthfully say with your support, and many of you have gotten involved one way or the other, calling, and I'm impressed, and that's pretty good. This vehicle is powered by people, I guess. There's gasoline and electric and solar and wind, but people power. Anyway, so today I have Summer Nemeth, Nemeth with me from Levaya. And she's going to be talking about, it's a continuation of some of the problems that we have there at Kaena and other places here on Oahu and throughout the state as far as that's concerned. And later on, I'll be talking about a few other things. But for right now, Summer, good morning. And thank you for joining me.
Mahalo for having me, Carol. And aloha to the listeners out there.
Yeah. Well, I've talked a bit about, over the years, a year or so, talked about Kaena Point, what some of the issues. What are some of the concerns that you want to talk about in particular and share with the listeners out there?
Well, I guess first and foremost, as Levaya, as somebody coming from the fishing community and from a fishing family, I think the number one thing that we always need to remember is that before fishing comes the care for the ocean and the land, and to make sure that the resources that we have continue to exist for future generations.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that Laura Thielen's reaction to some of the community activities that were happening at the Capitol last week, in two articles, she had made a call out for a stewardship partnership with the community.
Mm-hmm.
And what we've been wanting all along is for DLNR to recognize that the fishermen are the original caretakers, and they want to continue to be the stewards, and they want to be recognized. We want to be recognized as stewards and not not just a fishing community.
Mm-hmm. Because that is part of the environment, part of the fauna, the flora, and all of that is fishermen rely on birds to fish, right?
Absolutely.
And a certain time of the year, many of fishermen will absolutely do things based on the birds.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but the bigger issue here is it appears that as we've seen in some of the early issues with Laura Thielen of DLNR, Department of Land and Natural Resources, she has seemed to sidestep many of the people in the community.
Absolutely.
And this is what brings you to this point. You've tried working with her, and you've had an experience with going to the land board. Can you share? And most people out there won't believe that there's this great strategy to deny the public involvement, as simple as it sounds. And they probably think we're all on drugs or just paranoid.
Right.
But share with the public some of your experience and attempts to work with Laura Thielen.
Okay. I think that for the most part, it's been very frustrating that our calls out have landed on deaf ears. For the most part, and her response has been almost hostile at times to the fishing community. They call us passionate because we show up at hearings, and you know, we're speaking not from our minds only, but from our na'au, from our gut, and from, you know, from our ancestral ties that back us up. So it's kind of like It's frustrating not being heard, and especially at the land board, not having for them not to have an open mind and to listen to the community, especially in regards to projects that will have a permanent impact.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on a place like Kaena. So interesting enough, the land board will be meeting again on January 8th, Mm-hmm. And they will be discussing the need to push forward on the ecosystem restoration project. And that pretty much is the new title for the proposed rodent-proof fence.
So they're putting a fence up at Kiana Point, and then the intent or the stated purpose is to keep the rats out?
The rats and the mongoose and the dogs.
Mm-hmm. Is that possible? Is it?
Well, unfortunately, I mean, it's not a complete enclosure. It only goes up to the high tide line, so of course there's going to be access from both ends, from the Waianae and the Mokulaia side. So it's not going to be completely enclosed, and there will always be predators that will enter in, although they say that they will continue to use the trapping methods and the poisoning that they've done in the past for the rodents.
So the whole effort here is they're going to take a fence, and the proposal is to take a fence. Is still a term. Some of the people are taking offense to that.
Oh, absolutely. Offense. Absolutely.
And why?
From a cultural perspective, I feel that offense is very disrespectful to that place. It's extremely sacred, and it's a place of uhane, it's a place of spirits, it's a place where ancestors leap into the next world.
Mm-hmm.
And putting up a fence surrounding the leaping point, which is called the Leina Kauhane, I believe is completely disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
And there has been a change to the original plan. They've decided that they were going to erect a third gate in recognition of these spirits that enter through. But for me, that is still just complete disrespect. Just the idea of blocking off or surrounding this Leina with a stainless steel fence is not pono.
So, to paint a picture clear, they're going to put up a fence, and it's not a complete enclosure.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to... people will still be able to go through, correct?
Yes.
People, living human beings.
Living human beings will be able to enter in and out.
Open a door and go in and out.
Mm-hmm.
And then they are proposing to put another gate for the spirit of people of your
right, for
ancestors.
The ancestors to go through. And that would be a gate that's kind of facing the Mauka side. So it would be... it wouldn't be an entrance that anybody else would use, most likely.
At the risk of sounding insensitive or making fun of something, but isn't that insulting? I mean, just the mere... I'm just going to ask, how would your spirit recognize a gate?
That's a really good question.
I don't know how else to ask the question.
I've asked that question, too, as this is a modern development.
Mm-hmm.
That I believe that uhane probably wouldn't recognize, and it would probably appear to them as something blocking their path.
Mm-hmm.
Which I would interpret, if I were a spirit, as something disrespectful, somebody not recognizing my presence or recognizing my need to move from one place to another. Mm-hmm. So
it hinges on just outright disrespect and that on the part of DLNR and anyone else that would suggest that, because I, for what I know, the spirit world is somewhat different from the physical world.
Mm-hmm.
And to propose that, meaning, in my opinion, just cursory, it's disrespectful to even propose that. And you're still not going, and you're placing this fence solely for the purpose of protecting birds from rodents, when in fact rodents can be introduced in many ways, and it's just not going to work, because coming down off of the highest peak there at Kiana Point, you're still not going to be able to protect the birds and the albatross and the petrels or the other petrels that nest there, the shearwaters, the wedgetails, and what have you.
Right, right. They're nesting all along the mountainside, mm-hmm. And there recently there's been some poaching even of these seabirds, mm-hmm. that has taken place up at Kualoa.
Mm-hmm.
They're controlling one area and in another area nothing is being done for the same species. So
yeah, it really is, and for me, birds are what makes me tick. I mean, I like flowers and plants, but when it comes to birds, I lose my senses. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, because they're fascinating, and we must do anything and everything to protect the bird and enhance their population.
Mm-hmm.
But having said that, we also must respect the other things. Don't come up with nonsense. And the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is backing this project, correct?
Absolutely.
And some other national wildlife organization as well as a local. Which organization?
It's the, I believe it's the Wilderness Society.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the Wildlife Society, the Hawaii chapter,
mm-hmm.
and they're receiving a grant from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service.
Right, and so why, if this is such a great deal, and then obviously it sounds like the Fish and Wildlife Service is insensitive, and I mean, this is the Department of Interior, you know, and they, mm-hmm. they manage the other resources out in the Pacific and people's culture, so not doing a good job of it. I mean, we, you know, Interior Affairs is found under them, and we see the population of people from Micronesia and what have you coming here. It just seems like they're not doing a good job anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But if they really believed in this fence, James Campbell Refuge, see, the shearwater is a migratory bird,
mm-hmm.
and it has to be protected. You know, I will stand in front of a speeding train to protect them. But on the other hand, they are migratory, and maybe a rare occasion an endangered petrel or shearwater,
mm-hmm.
or will go there. The monk seals live there. We'll talk about that, and the whole new comes there.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the problem. They are migratory, terrestrial, and at James Campbell, we have known endangered species, and we have daily concerns with mongoose predating the Hawaiian stilt chicks,
mm.
the Galanu chicks, the moorhen chicks, and we also have the koloa. So there are four endangered species there, and yet no mentioning or no effort to fence that in with a rodent-proof fence. So
mm-hmm.
something on its face value smells. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but why would you pick this little parcel of land, and that's an extreme measure, and for migratory birds,
mm-hmm.
and then in turn, for there are endangered birds in a more restricted area, per se, surrounded by farming and cattle ranching,
right.
and
where
sewer plants.
Completely enclose a population.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the shrimp farms and all of that, right? So something smells there. You see, once again, big money,
mm-hmm.
and the Fish and Wildlife Service overstepping its boundaries, getting involved in something on private land, on state land, while in fact it should take care of its own land. There's
right.
a property on Molokai that is always impacted by, and these are endangered species in their wetland areas.
Mm.
We have Waipahu, where there's a tremendous amount of a large population of stilt,
mm-hmm.
and Galanu, and mud hens, and koloa, endangered species.
Right.
So they should have a more immediate, but their habitat isn't. And if you go to Waipahu over in that area, you'll see that it's just left there to any kind of intrusion by humans,
mm.
rats, cats, and dogs, and everything.
Right. And for right now, I mean, the NAR is completely closed off, the Natural Area Reserve.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we have a boulder blockade, and the bird population is doing quite well. In mm-hmm. fact, at one of the city and county hearings that I went to regarding the shoreline setback variance,
mm-hmm.
Brent Liesemeyer from DLNR had said that even if they don't build the fence, he predicts that the bird population will continue to increase over time. So even without the fence, which they say is necessary to protect the bird population, Brent mm-hmm. Liesemeyer is saying the bird population mm-hmm. is going to continue to grow.
Yeah. We have Sandra Parks on the phone. Good morning, Sandra.
Good morning.
Sorry to keep you waiting there, but this is such a good...
No, I was listening, and it seems like we're the only people listening because nobody in DLNR is listening to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know? We're not being heard. I have a thought. And it's regarding this predator fence. I had put in a petition, a contested petition, against the bird fence because DLNR does not even know how to manage the land right now. How in the world are they going to manage and maintain a fence that is going to be standing there for the next 20 years? Not to mention the gates and the doorways that they are providing along with the fence.
Mm-hmm.
I have a problem with that because as Cayena Point is now, DLNR cannot even enforce their rules and their management of Cayena Point.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very upset that Laura Thielen chose Cayena Point to be a experimental project. This is her pet project. She wants to leave office with this project in hand.
Mm-hmm.
But will she be here 20 years from now? Will everybody who is planning this fence be here in this state of Hawaii? I think not.
Mm-hmm.
Will they be going into Cayena Point? I think not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are the people who go into Cayena Point. We are the people who go to the beaches, you know. So why in the world would they want to put up a fence that's going to help the population of the birds when the birds is already, they have a great population already. In fact, they are, DLNR is planning to, they already have it in plan that they want more of the land because they want to extend the NARS.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if I'm saying it right, but you know, when does the birds come more important than the people? I mean, I understand. I love birds too, but when the birds come before the people, something is not right. We need the balance. We need to have a balance, you know, in this environment, you know. And those birds are not endangered.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could see if they were talking about the owls and the Hawaiian monk seal and the turtles and everything, but these birds, like you said, is migratory.
Mm-hmm.
They're not even in Cayena Point half of the time, and yet the fence is going to be there 365 days in a year.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing how some people are, it is going to be a very ugly sight because they say they're going to camouflage it with painting it green, the fence green. Okay. If anybody knows, Cayena Point is not green. It is brown.
Mm.
Another thing is, if anybody knows our problem with graffiti, that I can just see how that fence is going to look with people's art through graffiti.
Mm-hmm. Now, they decided to, this rock, what's the name of the rock?
Elena.
So at one time they were going to encroach on that, build a fence closer, and you raise issues with it, and they decide to.
Right.
Can you explain that?
So they were going to keep Elena outside. They were going to keep Elena outside of the fence project, the fenced area. However, I believe that the bird's flight path would have been affected if the area was too small.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one of the concerns and one of the reasons why they decided to put the Elena inside of the fenced area.
Mm-hmm.
I also have another thing to say, Carol.
Mm-hmm.
The very person who suggested this gate to be placed at the Lena for our ancestors' sleeping spirits is a cultural practitioner.
Mm-hmm.
He is also the person who is the chairperson for the advisory group, the Kayana Point Advisory Group, who is working alongside the stewardship group, which is made out of DLNR's departments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there is only three outside representatives that is not employed by DLNR who is in the advisory group, and that is fishermen, cultural practitioners, and conservationists.
Mm-hmm.
We have two special groups. That's Camp Erdman and Friends of Kayana. Then we have Waianae Neighborhood Board and North Shore Neighborhood Board. That makes up the group called the advisory group. Now, we are talking about the Mokulia side of Kaena Point. I asked, why is Waianae involved? Because when we went to Waianae, we were told at the neighborhood board meetings that we do not belong, we don't have a say there because we're not from Waianae. So this doesn't concern us. Yet, I need to let everybody know, Kaena Point is from Waianae to Mokulia. It's the same state park. So why is it not? We cannot go to Waianae side and have a say in what's going on with Kaena Point, but yet Waianae has a say on what goes on in Mokulia side of Kaena Point.
So this seems to be a strategy of divide and conquer.
Yes,
but
absolutely.
But why, though, the people allow that? I mean, it's one thing to point the finger at Laura Thielen and be, you know, disagreeing with her publicly and what have you, and objecting to her decisions. But there's seems to be an underlying current here of problems in that. Why would any of them in the community lend themselves and align themselves and be used? The Waianae community and their concern. Why would they do that anymore?
Well, I know that the Waianae community was invited to be a part because they have a permitting system for fishing out on that side that supposedly is working for that community, although I know fishermen on that side who completely disagree with that statement.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the Mokulia side, a lot of the Mokulia residents are just concerned about having heavy traffic in their area, you know, incoming fishermen or, you know, off-roaders or, you know, tourists even. So,
I see.
And let's not mention that the tourists is encouraged to go into Kaena Point. The hikers.
Right.
Are encouraged to go into Kaena Point. Yet, we have been going into Kaena Point for the last 30, 50, 100 years, and we're the ones who's being targeted.
Mm-hmm.
We're the ones who's being kicked out.
Yeah.
We're the ones whose DLNR is telling us that we can and cannot do these practices we call fishing.
Right.
And unfortunately, what they don't realize is that part of fishing is to take care of the land that surrounds the fishing grounds, you know. Because as fishermen, we know that you need to take care of the land that takes care of you, and the same for the ocean. Take care of the ocean that takes care of you. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we live by, you know.
Then I have another thing, too. Is that when we went on the site visit with the advisory group and the stewardship group, It's funny because I represent the fishing community. My husband is the representative. I was an alternate. And yet we were the only ones who had rubbish bags and gloves to pick up opala that people leave there.
Mm-hmm.
I personally handed out bags to everybody in the advisory group and as well as the stewardship group.
Mm-hmm.
So that they can help Malama the Aina. Yet they, it's funny, you go on a site visit talking about Kayana Point and nobody thinks. It's not an automatic thing for them to bring bags to carry out rubbish, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They need to really lead by example, and they themselves, who is on this advisory group, is just there to just see what they can get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Let me remind you, they are employed by DLNR.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's where their paychecks come.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So is this, they want to do it as we, when we said we were going to be on this advisory group?
Yeah.
We are doing it for the betterment of the next generation. Mm-hmm. We want to teach everybody how to malama the aina,
right.
You know?
Right.
We want to teach our grandchildren and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw the advisory group when we went on two site visits now. Nobody had brought rubbish bags. Now, isn't that telling you something?
Well, yeah, many of things involved here suggest that it's really not meant what it... they claim that it is, and
exactly,
and on its face value, there's many of things. But Sandra, I'm gonna, you got anything else real quick? Like, and I got a few points here.
Okay, I would just like to say there is going to be another site visit January 9th, and at 8 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
Into Kayana Point, and I think it's very important that the public are aware of how these meetings are being held.
Okay. All right, and that's January 9th. What time?
At 8 o'clock.
And it will be where?
It starts at Camp Ergman.
Okay.
And it's going to be a walk-in into Kayana Point.
Okay.
And their objective to that is that they want to know where the parking areas is going to be or the sites
okay.
that we are supposed to be fishing at.
Okay, so then are you going to this, there's this meeting at
the land board
at the Punch Bowl site. What is it at the address real quick?
Oh, or I don't have the address.
Kalani Moku building.
It's the DLNR. Right near the Capitol, right next to the Capitol.
The DLNR building.
Right.
And there, what time is that meeting, or that hearing going to start?
Well, I was asking people to show up around 8 a.m.
Mm-hmm. And so 8 a.m. and these meetings can go. They can be real tricky. They can either if they see not many people there, they'll hurry up and move it forward.
Right.
And have the hearing and hear that item. Or if there's a lot, then they will put it at the last item. So anyway, January 8th. And Sandra, thank you. We're gonna sit here and
thank you. Thank you very much.
Aloha.
Thank you, Summer. Thank you, Carol.
Oh,
mahalo.
Aloha. Mahalo.
Well, Sandra mentions great points, but a couple things here. I, while listening to this, and I can best describe the DLNRs, because nothing they do, and I mean absolutely nothing they do, and I will take on anyone to prove that anything they touch is flawed, and it's either about money. They can't do their basic duties. You can't pick up the phone and get a human being to answer it after hours.
Right.
Okay, number one. Number two, and it's contrived. So they're supposed to be resource protectors.
Mm-hmm.
But forever and ever, there's a new program, a stewardship. They got the hot spots. When Michael Wilson was mm-hmm. in, there was hot spots. And then the sustainability. And it's all about trickery.
Mm-hmm.
They meet these big-suited nonprofits from the mainland, from D.C., who got money to burn and spend, and they come here, and it's always someone on this side willing. with welfare mind, give us the money and we will lay the foundation. And that's what's happening here.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of point. To put a fence there is absolutely nonsense, because up top there is a remnant population of Laysan albatross, one of the most beautiful birds you'll ever see, one of the giant petrels.
Mm-hmm.
50 of them were killed. Not a feather, not an egg, not a body or anything was found. So it had to have been government employees, and I say that because you have to sign in to get up there.
Right.
Yet, why wouldn't DLNR put a fence or some method up there? And this is an ancient population, rare, that nests in the mountain area.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And they've done nothing. They go to do an investigation, nothing. Wanted to take that $1 million and restore the habitat up there, and that $1 million to pay for an investigation into the killing. 50 birds. I'm going to say that could have been 20 nesting pair. I don't know exactly the makeup.
Right.
But imagine. But no fence.
No fence.
So, once again, you have complaints against the officers.
Mm-hmm.
How did they treat those? They brushed them off. Mm-hmm. So, when it comes to the DLNR, whether it's Thielen, and this is a problem that it's been forever present. The DLNR chairperson is just a political monkey. That's all it is. It's a jungle gym for someone that want to advance their causes, and our legislators are responsible because they install them.
Mm-hmm.
We've had horrible, horrendous leaders in the DLNR. They musical chairs, in fact. One time we had 3 or 4 of them come in and out.
Absolutely.
Grove Farms and on people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So something's wrong here, but yet they say Malama the Aina.
Mm-hmm.
And then they reach out and get the practitioners of their choice. So what I believe can best be described is that the NIED, stealing from, and that is improvised environmental decisions. You see, and they eventually explode in the faces of the local people or the native people, or period.
Right.
And it's unfortunate.
Absolutely.
And to, you see, what most of the listeners don't know out there is that the albatross is a ground nester, and it nests above the ground, and it lays an egg and builds up, scoops a mound. And when it nests, it nurses its baby, right? But the shearwater nests underground.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you are going to protect them, why would you be enhancing and encouraging and inviting more hikers when, in fact, hikers... It's not just dogs killing the birds. It is also hikers walking in the soft sand where these birds nest.
Right, crushing the nest.
Crushing the nest,
mm-hmm.
or collapsing it so that the bird is going to starve or be smashed.
Mm-hmm.
These are the type, and the population, I go out there frequently, the population is growing and doing well.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need $1 million fence with pukas in it so that the spirit can... And we'll be kind enough to leave a gate for the spirit world.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate. I think that it seems like they're really pushing for this plan. I mean, on the 8th, they're going to make the decision whether or not this is going to happen or not.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think they're going to lose funding if they don't get it done in January.
Okay, we got M on the line. Good morning, M.
Good morning. How are you folks this morning?
Aloha.
Aloha.
Happy New Year.
Good. All I have to say is that you guys are the yes people. That's very good. This is going to be the yes year or the no year or fix up the solutions year.
Mm-hmm.
So what we got to do, we don't need the fence.
Mm-hmm.
We got to be careful and figure out. Don't do what's the no. Just
mm-hmm.
do what is the yes.
Mm-hmm.
So catch the cats, catch the wild dogs, catch the rats. Just like Chinatown, all you got to do is catch it and control it.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And what DLNR says is it's so costly to continue doing that trapping. But
no,
but they don't.
Costly.
It's not. And what they don't realize is that people in the community are probably willing to go set the traps themselves.
Yes, but
you know,
people will set the traps
absolutely.
Themselves. You know, when I heard about the Chinatown rat, I think I got about 10 or 12 or 13. I was ready to go out set the traps over there.
Mm-hmm.
Then they said, you're going to catch it. You're going to set the trap. You spend $100 on trap. They go and take the trap. I say, I got to chain up the traps. Mm-hmm. Too much for me. So mm-hmm. the Board of Health has to do their job.
Mm. Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
The Board of Health has to do their job.
Yeah, they don't do that.
They say, oh, we only get 19 because they went cut A. Put those 19 out there in a certain area where it's being troubling for us.
Well, Governor Lingo, I really, and I want all of you to throw tomatoes at me, but I'm going to say it. I think one of the better things she has done is to do the furlough.
Yep.
And I tell
she's
you
very
why.
Good, but she's
not economically. I mean just a kick in the pants of these state workers who sit on their butts and do nothing. They will lie, steal, and cheat. You go in and ask for a document, and they give you this runaround.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it's like I felt helpless asking my government, who is supposed to be accessible to me, lying to me and hiding documents, and even legally.
Oh, that is a bad one. That's a no.
Yeah, and in turn...
And sometimes
you know,
the no mistakenly, and sometimes the yes mistakenly.
Yeah, and they've gotten in a predicament or a climate here that they think they were untouchable. So I don't know right, wrong, or good, bad on Ms. Lingle's part. I don't know how to, but I can say one of the benefits is...
Do the solution.
Yes. Send a message.
The solution, the correction.
Yeah. Now, all of you out there that disagree with me, it's nothing to disagree with. I'm just elated that finally to sit back and see that we do still have some hooks in these state workers and these guys who go up with the fancy pants, nonprofit Pew organization, the Wilderness Society, and turn to welfare and give us a grant, and we'll be the native evidence for you. I'll serve as a practitioner on your board. Oh, you don't have to deal with Summer. You don't have to deal with Alice or Sandra Parks or him or anyone.
No.
I'll stand here and be your okie dokie man.
Oh, you cannot go see a special person and they will do a special thing for you. That is out.
Yeah.
We live in a democracy. Do your job.
Right.
If you know me or you don't know me.
Exactly.
Just do your job. Like you, Mr. Cox.
Mm-hmm.
You are... Yes, that's what you are, and all your ladies with you are. Yes, we're trying to fix the solution.
Yeah, well...
Absolutely. Just imagine how much money DLNR would save if they were having the fishing community, you know, doing the resource management and not mm-hmm. having to pay them for it. People that are out there 24/7 every day of the year,
mm-hmm.
you know, who could be reporting violations... And being a good partner with DLNR.
Right. It takes time to do our solutions. We cannot just put up a fence and that's the solution.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah, put
the
up
birds going to fly over the fence. The dog's going to get them anyway.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and you're right. And that it takes me to my next part of this conversation. But, anyway, thank you. You have anything else?
No, that's it. Thanks very much.
Mahalo for your contribution, Auntie.
Okay.
Mahalo.
Yes. Bye.
I got Leilani on the phone now. Hello.
Leilani.
Hi.
Good morning.
Hello, Leilani.
So, you know, I just wanted to give a quick call in. I've been working with the fishing community for some time. I work for the Native Hawaiian Legal Corporation and Native Hawaiian Bar Association Peacemaking Program. And, you know, I think Summer just brought up a really good point about resource management and the participation of the people who have been, you know, known for thousands of years really as the traditional caretakers, you know, and the fishermen who have traditionally come to the area from all parts of Oahu and possibly beyond, in order to take care of those areas, and they've been acknowledged in the old documents. And so, I think that what we would really like to see, if possible, is a continuation of that. And that means that they need to be respected, their practices need to be respected, the communication needs to be drastically improved. There are people who care very deeply on all sides of this fence issue about, you know, those things, the birds, the plants, the resources there. It seems really natural they should get along. And so the, you know, the question, the obvious question is, why don't they get along? Well, you know, it seems like when things are shoved down people's throats and they're not things that people can agree with because it doesn't agree with their practice of malama'aina, then it becomes impossible to have a peaceful, cooperative scenario in which you really can protect the resources on both a traditional and a modern level.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess the people that bring the troubles to the table is they have a legal duty, and they're bound to do what's right by the people and do due diligence, and that is DLNR, Department of Health, and other state agencies.
Mm-hmm.
When they lend themselves to inviting only choice people that promote what it is that they want to, and as we've pointed out here, they go as far as allowing nonprofits to post on their website, on the state website,
mm-hmm.
but then will ignore you and myself when I want to post something, just
right.
to be fair. So, you know, what do you do in that situation?
Yeah, and that's where it does become really, really tricky. You know, for myself as a peacemaker, I would really like to see, you know, everyone just get along and go straight to the issues. But the reality in this situation is that there are some issues that are being kind of put down as though they don't exist. And, you know, I think that all of us need to ask that everything be brought to the table, you know, every part of what needs to be made pono be brought out without any reservations.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you're right. It's there are a lot of things that are really kind of questionable in the process itself. That doesn't lend itself very well to trust, to the building of trust. And without trust, you know, you cannot have people and government working together very well.
Right. And then when you set up a meeting and then you give the public 1 minute to talk and then you ignore
right.
what it is they said and you ignore their testimony and you ignore it because you got a board that you've stacked with the people of your ilk.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and the greatest insult that I've witnessed in this state is to, I've heard them all, but to put a gate, leave a puka in a fence so that the spirit world can be entered.
Mm-hmm.
That is culturally insensitive. I'm sorry. It would be the equivalent of taking a cemetery here in the U.S. and putting a dome over it and say, well, what we'll do, we'll leave a little glass window so that they can slide it open.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You know,
yeah.
There's a thin line here that I'm standing on, but when you're culturally insensitive, you know, you're culturally insensitive.
Right. And I think that the thing is, you know, for myself, I don't want to make a judgment on that in particular, just because, you know, I do know the people who've come up with that idea. I believe that their intentions were probably good. But then the question is, do they have the right to make those decisions without the input of other cultural practitioners who also are descended from the area and disagree?
Right.
You know, and that's, I think, that's a really, really major issue, because those people also have a kind of traditional scientific knowledge that's not being heard in all of this, too.
Right, right.
You know, I have the report that DLNR is putting out for the this hearing that's coming up on Friday in front of me, and, you know, one of the things that they mention in this is, you know, Summer's concern that she raised when she petitioned on this before about the effect of rodenticides on pu'el.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, this is a very real concern. This is something that's been raised very broadly. Her family has actually observed the numbers of Puyo declining over the years.
Yeah, we're getting down to close.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to say, you know, there are basically that was negated by the fact that I guess tests were done on barn owls, and you know, I think that there are some things that are pretty that need to be corrected about that, and you know, to just kind of bring the indigenous people who are part of this Aina and Aina caretakership forward, and you know, have everyone work together if at all possible.
Right. Well, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Alrighty, and anyway, Summer, real quick, what I wanted to add to, right down the road from Kaena Point is Dillingham Airfield.
Mm-hmm.
The USDA animal welfare people, that the shooters of the birds and killers of the birds, they go into the Dillingham Airfield and remove these birds and have taken them and placed them where dogs end up killing them, or they'll take the eggs and addle the eggs by putting oil on. So these are the same birds that will visit Kaena Point and come up there, right?
Absolutely.
And also, if they really want to protect, fix the problem when the shearwaters land on the highway. Have a response team.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you manage resources. But anyway, you have anything real quick?
I think that I just want to say that there's a short list of things that anyone can do to help Malama the resources out at Kaena. Number one, always take out more opala than you bring in and be prepared to clean up the surrounding area as you visit it. Make it part of your routine to Malama Aina. Don't just leave the trash behind. Number two, don't drive or park on native plants, because our root systems hold together the soil and sand and helps prevent erosion and
don't
protects our ecosystem.
Don't park on any plants because
no
we can't
plants.
Tell a plant.
Absolutely, if, right. If you don't know any what is native, don't park on it.
Mm-hmm.
No mud bogging. Mm-hmm. Discourage all mud bogging activity. Educate others and teach them that we need to protect our resources for future generations.
Well, what we're going to do is I'm going to invite you back maybe in the coming
thank you.
week or so, in a couple shows we'll finish up with this, but
okay,
thank
great.
You for coming in, and
thank
it's not the last
me,
time, and just share with the public, we need to hold everybody accountable, and thank you all for joining us. I hope this is a little enlightening, and this is the Carol Cox Show, and Happy New Year's, and here's Mr. Stanley Turrentine, and Tina Quizon will be coming up shortly with the Entrepreneurs World, and aloha.
And tune in again next time for the Carol Cox Show on K108.